I have this great opportunity to welcome you to worship this morning. It's a happy thing for me to do that. I hope the joy that you've had in your hearts this week as we've celebrated the birth of our Savior Jesus is still in your hearts, and it gives me a great deal of pleasure to see you here today, particularly those who are not normally with us, but it's so nice to see you gathered to be with us. You are certainly welcome, and we're happy to have each and every person here, and also those who are perhaps at home, even miles away this morning, and those who might listen and watch this service at a later time. Might the Spirit touch you is our concern too. I've put together an order of service. I hope that this morning will add to the testimony that you might have and gain an appreciation of, as we know that God has been mindful of his people, for he sent his son to be with us. And that son needs to live in our hearts. I'm happy to be associated with Brother Schrunk, who will share in this service, and Brother Eichhorn, who will provide for us the ministry of preaching. Now, I'm going to read some scripture at this point and later on in the service that will allow us to think about the testimony that can come to us of the newborn Jesus and the salvation that he brings. And so I will read several verses from chapter 19 of Revelation and urge you, if you desire, to put some of these verses together in understanding that you might do so in your time. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his saints, and ye that fear him, both great, small, and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See that thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of the brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And out of his mouth proceedeth the word of God, and with it he will smite the nations, and he will rule them with the word of his mouth. And he treadeth the winepress in the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on a vesture, and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May the testimony unfold to you in this hour of worship. We will follow the order of service as it is before you, opening with hymn number 112.
Thank you.
Father, we are grateful to have this opportunity to worship here in this place at this time. The light has come through our window just now, and it reminds us of the light of the message of the gospel through thy Son Jesus, who was sent to the earth for the benefit of each and every being who ever lived. Many of us are gathered here. We are grateful to have the testimony that you have given to us. We pray that as our gathering now comes to pass, that thy blessings will be upon us in a way that this testimony will be strengthened. Would you bless the one who will speak to us today with the message that we would need to hear, and for each participant today, that we would have thy spirit to touch our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was out and about in the various places to shop a few days before Christmas, as I'm sure many of you were, and it was a pretty busy place, wasn't it? And I happened to think there the day after Christmas, it was also probably busy as people hurried themselves to take back what they didn't want or wanted to exchange. I think about that and how sad it is that some would even do that with Jesus, wouldn't perhaps accept him as they should, and maybe exchange it for something else. Also, I think about how quickly the things of the Christmas season on the shelves of the stores will disappear, and the day after will be replaced by tubs and storage containers and things like that, and all of those things that have been in our homes and things will be put away, stored for the next time. And you know, the testimonies that we have need to live, and they need to live on. We certainly would not want to exchange or take back any of the blessings of the Lord. And the spirit of charity that we have experienced at Christmas time needs to be prevalent in our lives, not just at gift-giving time, but at all times. And for that reason, I'm one who thinks that the taking of offerings and receiving of offerings is an important experience in our worship service. So have happiness as you have opportunity to share in the blessings of life, even in the giving of your offerings. Brethren, if you'd come. Dear Heavenly Father, we are a blessed people. We are blessed in many ways that we haven't even thought of. The greatest blessing is to know and to understand. And another great blessing is the opportunity and the desire to be a sharing people. And so with these offerings, bless them. And we are thankful for the opportunity to share. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's good to see all your smiling faces this morning. It's a joy to be in the presence of our Lord Jesus and in your presence to worship together and to recognize that God has a great calling for each of us. And this morning I'd like to use for scripture taken out of section 64 out of the Doctrine of Covenants. And I'm going to begin with 5a and b. Behold, now it is called today, until the coming of the Son of Man. And verily is a day of sacrifice and a day of tithing of my people. For he that is tithed shall not burn at his coming. For after today cometh burning. This is speaking after the manner of the Lord. For verily I say, tomorrow all the proud and they that do wickedly shall be as stubble, and I will burn them up. And I am the Lord of hosts, and I will not spare any that remaineth in Babylon. Wherefore, if ye believe me, ye will labor while the day is yet called today. And I would ask that the Lord will bless that scripture, but also in our session as we share in the ministry this morning.
It is hymn number 115. Like the wise men, we are led unto Christ.
Thank you.
As I mentioned, that having the responsibility of a message, that it's always a joy, but it's also a very humbling experience. And as one speaks with the Lord and in prayer and in study and so forth, that you come up with those things that seem to be impressed upon your heart and your mind. And one of the things, if I were using a theme this morning, it would be your task must remain your focus. Your task must remain your focus. And we have been blessed in this congregation. We've heard several different sermons, and one I'm sure has left an impression upon you, and that was the spilt blood of God, the spilt blood of Jesus Christ. And in that sermon, that we recognize that Jesus came in the manger as a child, but he also grew up into manhood. And in his manhood, he brought forth a great ministry. And in that ministry, as an example, we recognize that he was willing to give up his life. And in giving up his life, that it required the spilling of his blood. And to that sermon left a very impression upon my mind and my heart. We also heard, following that, I believe, was a sermon that suggested that the church is to that point that we're somewhat like the rich young ruler. And it was suggested that out of all the things that we do, as a church and as a people, that there is something that seems to yet be lacking, and to bring forth and to recognize the great power that is within the Son Jesus Christ, but also within Zion. And so I'd like to share just a quick reminder of that particular scripture. And hopefully that as we look at these things, that we do not look at them as something that is being critical, but that we would look at these particular situations as something that would be a stimulus in our life to want to become more like Jesus Christ. And I'd like to share, and I'm going to start with Luke 18, verse 18. And it says, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Perhaps as we think about that we all are concerned about what takes place when our last breath is breathed on this earth. What's going to happen in this thing called eternal life? We have indication through Scripture of those things. We know the rest, that we will be resurrected. We know that we'll be given a perfect body and so forth. But is that something that is a concern? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. And do not bear false witness. And honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these things I have kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet thou lackest one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. And in that sermon that was given that morning, it was suggested that we as a church, as a body of Christ, somewhat lack something. In other words, that we haven't given our full commitment to that which Christ has called us to do. I'm reminded this morning that several things that we have learned. And one is that it was on internet. And I'm not sure, but in that there was shown a manger. And we look at a manger similar to one that's made out of wood and so forth. But this manger was a little bit different. It was made out of stone. And it was made out of stone, and it was long, but it also was curved into the bottom. In other words, it was like a cradle, so to speak. And it was used as a feeding trough for the animals in the barn, so to speak. And so when we looked at this, and then it made these comments, and it's something I never thought about before, and perhaps you haven't either, but it was that this particular vessel that was made, that when the law of Moses, and there was the time that the person would take a lamb that was unblemished. And they would take that lamb, and as the lambs were inspected and looked at, they would find the most perfect lamb. And so that lamb wouldn't go out and get in the brush and do all these kinds of things, that it had to have that perfection. And so they would take that lamb and they would wrap it in cloth, and so that it wouldn't run around with all the other lambs, that they would lay it in this trough. And it was the sacrificial lamb, and it would be used as a burnt offering. It's interesting that when Christ came, that he too was wrapped in cloth. We call it swaddling cloth. And then it said he was laid in a manger. But do we understand that he was laid in that manger in perfection as a sacrificial lamb? And that in that perfection, that he would give his life after his ministry for our sins and for our life. I never looked at it quite that way before, but it left an impression upon my thoughts. You know, the Lord, he grew up as a boy, and we're told we don't have a lot of scripture that tells about all of his livelihood, but we know that he was a carpenter and that he was an apprentice, and he became very skillful and he made many items. But then as he grew into manhood, and we look at the age of around 33, that in doing so, that he took upon the responsibility of ministry. It became his calling. It became the thing that he yearned to do, the thing that motivated him. He was focused. And in those 3 years or so that before he made that ultimate commitment to his Father in heaven, yea, Lord, I will do your will. I will do those things that you've called me to do. And he knew that he would be nailed to a cross. And he did it not because it was a thing to do. He did it because of us. And the sins that we bear, the sins that we have within us. And Scripture says that we're carnal, we're sensual, and we're devilish. And that's part of our human nature. But Christ in his earthly ministry went forth to tell us that through him that we can overcome. And that as we look at the story of Christ, that was his focus. That was his ministry. And in that, he also calls to us that that's our ministry. Most of us are over 33 years old. And as we come, do we look at the things around us that God presents to us? And does it have a meaning within our life? I'm sure we watched some of the newscasts that have been on Channel 9 and 4 and 5, local news, so to speak. But in that, what we saw was there were churches, there were people that had such a desire and a concern for the welfare of those that wouldn't have enough to eat. And so what they did on that Christmas day, in the day before, they prepared turkeys, they prepared all kinds of things. They gathered in all kinds of foodstuffs. And then on that special day, they cooked all these things up. And it says that they invited the homeless, those that had the poor, those that had no place to have a Christmas tree, no place to have some of the good things that so much of us are familiar with. And yet one of the gentlemen that represented one of these inner city churches, he said what a thrill it was to be able to share and to be able to serve food to those of the homeless and those that were not, did not have a place. And he was smiling. He was joyful. He was excited about the fact that they were able to do something . I bring that up because I want to ask the question, when we saw those newscasts and we saw those people sitting at the table and meals being packaged and brought out and all those kinds of things, how did we feel as a people? Did we feel the compassion that I'm sure Jesus Christ felt? If you look at the third book of Nephi, it talks about that Christ came among our brothers and sisters, which we call the ancient people or the people of Nephi. And what did he say? He said he showed them his hands, he had them feel his hands, the prints in his hand and his side and his feet. And he said, I want you to know that I am. I'm real. And I did these things for you. And then he rehearses what we call the Beatitudes. Blessed are. And so he goes through this. And then it says that as the people had gathered, that they had gathered in such a way that he recognized that they were tired. And he suggested to them, he said, that you need to go home and ponder the things which you've heard me say, the things that I've done. And then as he looked at the people, he looked and he said, these people don't want to leave. They want to be here. And it says compassion felt his very being. And in that compassion, he said, bring all those that are ill. Bring those that are sick and those that are infirm, those that are blind and those that are deaf. And it said he blessed each one of them. Because the people felt a closeness. They had an intimate experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he calls us to do in our focus upon him. And as he did these things, he recognized that there's only so many turkeys that one congregation can fix and serve to a people. But he's saying, what will feed my people? Who will bring ministry to the poor will be Zion. Do we have that compassion? That we are willing to make the adjustments in life. You know, he says that whoever will lose their life for my sake shall save it. But whoso will save their life will lose it. When we, as myself, as I look at these things, I read these scriptures, there's something inside that says, I've got to do better than I've done before. I, like everyone else, I enjoy the good things. I like to be home. I like to sit in my comfortable chair. I like to recline it. And I like to pick up my scriptures and I sit there and I read them. But also, I feel within that spirit that I have to get out of that chair. I've got to do something. I want to share an experience with you that I had this past October. Vaughn Cornish and I, we went to Florida. And when we were in Kirtland, that a brother came up to us. He's a priest in the church. And he says, I have a sister that lives in Florida. And he said, she's dying. And we found out later that she has an aneurysm. And if it moves, that it will take her life. Well, Brother Ham is very concerned about his sister. He says, I haven't seen her for many years. But he says, I talk to her once a week. I call her. I talk to her. And he said, when you're in Florida, will you stop? And will you make a visit? And so we had her address, and somehow that her phone number kind of got lost. And so we called Bruce Levengood and said, well, can you get us in touch with Brother Ham so that we can get her phone number? Which we did. And we've been on this side of Florida. And the time that the message got back to us, her phone number, we were over here. But we found that she lived over here. So we kind of made a crisscross going across Florida. But I made a phone call, and I said that Vaughn and I are in your area, and would it be possible to stop and make a visit? And he said, we got some construction going on, and they live in a trailer mobile home center. And he said, if you can go through the things that need to be done, he said, you're welcome. Well, about 45 minutes to an hour later, we pulled in the driveway and went up and knocked on the door, being total strangers. And I gave him my card, and I said, well, we're elders from the Restored Church of Jesus Christ. And the brother Paul, he said, come on in. And so they had just finished up their meal, and things were on the table. And so he took us into the living room, and they kind of left things as they were, and came in and sat down. And in that discussion, we spent several hours in their home. And in that time period that they shared with us that they lived in this mobile home, and there was a pastor, because they have a community church. And he said the pastor's wife was having surgery. And he said, would you, brethren, he said, would you have special prayer for her? And so, without question, that we stopped our conversation, and Brother Vaughn offered a most beautiful prayer on behalf of a sister that we never met, that she might recover. We found out later that she went through surgery, and she was, once again, much better and okay. But in that as we shared, that we found out that they were members of the church many, many years ago. However, they had now left the church, so to speak, and now worshiping with this group of people that, within this home, mobile home area. And so as we shared that we had a prayer for our sister, Kathy, and she said, and I asked if she wanted to be ministered to, and her response was, I'm okay, I know that the Lord will take care of me, and I know that one day I'll pass. And but in that conversation, that when we got ready to leave, he said, "Can we have prayer for you?" Speaking with about me and Vaughn. And he gave a most beautiful prayer. He prayed for our travels. He prayed that homes would be open to us and that we would be able to bring ministry to others. It touched our hearts. And so I sent them a Christmas letter. Not telling them that they need to come back to church, but my appreciation and how important the gospel is in our lives. I asked them if they might have the Book of Mormon somewhere stashed away, if they would read the third book of Nephi. Because you see, within that ministry, that the lives of people are touched. I used a scripture this morning that said that we need to come out of Babylon. The Lord says, take no thought about tomorrow, what you should eat or what you should wear. And he was talking to the priesthood. And he says that in that third book of Nephi, it says that this he told his priesthood. And then it went on to say, and then he shared these things with the people. We're going into a new year. And in that new year, what is our expectation? I spent time with Brother Mike before he went into the hospital. We sat at his kitchen table. And one of his concerns, because I told him I was so appreciative of his devotion and his spiritual life, that he could talk with the Lord and the Lord would speak. And he would take and write these things down. It is shared with many of us. And this is what his concern was. He says, I wonder if my people have really taken these thoughts that the Lord has placed, have they really taken them seriously? I'd like to share with you just a portion, just two paragraphs, really. Steve, when I brought this book up, he said, well, you know, what are you really going to share? Are you going to try to talk all of us into these things? But he said these words, and this was November the 8th, 2024. Be not deceived, for the results of the election have brought a sense of false security. Many of the people of this land who desire a victory for Trump have decided that all will be well, thinking the evil opposition has been defeated. And those who desire freedom of speech and freedom of religion affiliated now feel satisfied and confident in the presidential choice. But I say unto those who have been made aware of the coming of conflict, that although I have intervened and have renewed a hope of former greatness, an element of tremendous evil influence remains in the minds and in the hearts of many people, whose desire it is to force upon the inhabitants of this land an agenda that is likened unto past revolutions. They sought to rule in wickedness and gain control of various populations and beliefs. And then he goes on and he speaks of many things in regarding this. But he also says this: use your time wisely, for it is your last opportunity you will have to seek closer relationship with your Lord and Savior. The hands of destruction are held at bay by the prayers of the saints and by their total dedication in performing the works of righteousness so needed in the world today. All that have been given both in Scripture and in prophetic warning will come to pass. And all those who desire to enter the kingdom must have their lamps lit along with sufficient oil. We read these words, but when we leave this sanctuary, are they kind of put on the back burner? There's this thing of procrastination. I'll do it tomorrow. And my wife reminds me that all the time. She'll say, you need to pick up the phone and you need to call so-and-so. And I'll say, well, I will. But she says it needs to be done now. I love her. I sometimes get frustrated, but I love her. And so, but it's these types of things that we as a body of people need to do for one another. None of us are perfect. And sometimes we need that prodding. I went back and I read this experience of the saints at Creston, Iowa by Delbert Smith. It was an interview. And in this interview, he talked with the pastor, but he also asked some questions. And he said, what is it that you need to do? And he said, the first thing that we did, he said that we took 10 people and gave them the responsibility for praying for one person. And that's a person that comes into church but hasn't been baptized. And he said the first task is that that is paramount in the lives of you 10 people. And this is a person you need to pray for. And it's interesting that as those prayers were offered on those individuals, there was a turnaround in their life. The second thing that he said that they focused on was on tithing. And he said, most of us do tithe, so it's not... But he said in their branch at that time, there was only a few in the priesthood that tithed, and there was few in the membership. And so that began their discussion for quite some time. When they came to prayer meetings on Wednesday nights, they prayed that the Lord would open up doors so that they could meet that obligation. And then he said the third thing that they focused on was the word of wisdom. And he said that in this word of wisdom, he said that they talked about and examined those things that they needed to take out of their life as far as for their health. That they would be up to the task of what to do, the things that need to be done. That they weren't bogged down because of illness and because of lack of energy and lack of these types of things. And so, as you read through this experience, that many, many wonderful things. Now, it didn't happen overnight. It took discipline. It took what we call obedience. But they were willing to work at it together as a family. And out of that, they had the blessing of the Apostle John to come into their midst. As I look at the world, I see all the bleakness that everyone talks about, but I see a vision. I see a vision of what we can do as a church, as a people that have the fullness of the gospel, to be able to go out and to share and to invigorate people. The Lord says it's not going to be maybe people that already go to church. It's going to be the poor. It's going to be those that are afflicted. I remember testimonies, and I've read testimonies where, you know, we have many people on our prayer list. And it said where the whole congregation, or many of the congregation, went into that home and they knelt down around a bed of an afflicted person. And they were told before they went in, do you have faith to believe that God can heal this person? That this person can live? And it says that the faith of those saints, and they weren't all priesthood, that went into these homes and knelt down and asked the Lord for that blessing. The saints that went before us, many of which we read about, were committed people. Committed not just to know Scripture, but to do the things that Scripture called them to do. When Christ came as a babe and they laid him in a manger, we know at 12 years old, he met with a group of religious leaders. And they were astonished at the things that he told them. Sometimes I believe that we deal with the avenue of fear. A fear of what somebody's going to say or what they're not going to say. Zion has to be and will come when our people are of a pure heart and of a righteous living. And in that they bring forth blessings. We talk about people outside. Well, how are we going to approach them? Well, we can smile at them. We can give them a good greeting, and we can do all those kinds of things. But have we been concerned about their eternal life? And are we willing to go up and say, this is what the Lord has said, and this is my responsibility to share with you the good news of the gospel? If we look back at J.J. Cornish and we look back at Oscar Case, they didn't mince words. They told how it was. But the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit rested upon those that heard their words, and they made a choice to be baptized or to walk away. But many, even in that situation, were blessed, as we read those accounts. Sometimes I believe that we're shy, and somehow we live in a time when Satan is going to do many devastating things. But the Lord has called on each of us to be different, to be his spokesman, to be his right arm and his left arm, and to bring that kind of ministry. And if we're going to do that, we have to come together and we have to talk about these things. We have to see how each of us feel, not just on an evening prayer service, but to gather together and to say, what is our mission? What do we want to see happen? And then put forth the program or the outline of how we're going to do it. It seems to me that this is what took place in the Creston, Iowa experience. It didn't happen over once. But it was those things that God brought to their attention. And what he brought to my attention was the fact that there were some small churches on the inner city that were willing to sacrifice the family gathering and bring meals to those that didn't have them. Maybe something small, but what it's saying is that our calling is to bring forth Zion. And Christ has said, if we're going to feed the millions, it will be because of him. And it will be because of Zion, and something that it must somehow radiate within us. I'm going to close with these words that were given April the 9th, 2024, from the Lord. And he says these words, "But I have chosen you, my beloved people, to offer yourselves in loving service in the midst of man's fallen state, dictated by his perverted standards. Walk with me, my people. Keep the path I trod. Travel not down strange vistas, but plant your feet firmly in my footsteps and see the salvation of God, not only in your life, but in the life of others." May God bless each of us in our walk with him in this great opportunity to bring forth the kingdom of Zion.
This is the spirit of prophecy. It is because of the testimony of Jesus. Many people have been fortunate to have the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is as much for you as it is for anyone else. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Book of Mormon. It tells the story of how even before the time of Christ, that people had his testimony. For this intent have we written these things, that they may know that we knew of Christ, and we had a hope of his glory many hundred years before his coming. And not only we ourselves had a hope of his glory, but also all the holy prophets which were before us. And behold, they believed in Christ and worshiped the Father in his name, and also we worship the Father in his name. And for this intent we keep the law of Moses, it pointing our souls to him. And for their cause it is sanctified unto us for righteousness, even as it was accounted unto Abraham in the wilderness, to be obedient unto the commands of God, in offering up his son Isaac, which was a similitude of God and his only begotten son. Wherefore, we search the prophets, and we have many revelations, and the spirit of prophecy, and having all these witnesses, we obtain a hope, and our faith becometh unshaken, insomuch that we truly can command in the name of Jesus, and the very trees obey us, or the mountains, or the waves of the sea. Nevertheless, the Lord God showeth us our weakness, that we may know that it is by his grace and his condescensions unto the children of men that we have power to do these things. Behold, great and marvelous are the works of the Lord. How unsearchable are the depths of the mysteries of him, and it is impossible that man should find out all his ways, and no man knoweth his ways, save it be revealed unto him. Wherefore, brethren, despise not the revelations of God. That is the spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Christ. Today the heavens are open to souls prepared to hear the wondrous revelation of Christ who's ever near. The Savior of the ages will live with us today if we but try to know him and seek to find his way. Hymn number 121, preceding the closing prayer. Thank you.
Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to a close of this service, we have been reminded, Father, of the great responsibility that lies with each one of us. And Father, we pray for the power of your Holy Spirit to continue to guide and direct our lives, causing us to go forward for your kingdom, for your Zion. We pray for that blessing upon us. And Father, you know that we continue to be concerned with those of our number who are not with us this day and because of health reasons or other reasons. And so, Father, we lift them up unto you for a choicest blessing of healing and comfort in their lives. We know that you know each need. And so we just ask for that blessing upon them. Father, as we have come through this time of season, when we continue to ponder that great gift, the gift of your Son, Jesus, and how he affects our lives, Father, we pray that you might continue to instill that wonderness, that love that come from the course of your heaven to lead us into this new year, that truly, Father, we might respond to that love and mercy given. I pray a benediction on this service and pray that as we go forth, that you might continue to guide us by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.